Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites, my fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. I must seriously apologize for the jokes, ladies and gentlemen. They come thick. They come fast. Kind of like me. Now, the State of the Truth Movement. Can we quantify this? Can we look at how many people are involved? How many people have been there for a very long time? And think about the state of mind of the general people, not the ones who are doing radio shows and hosting websites and going out there and doing talks and things of that nature, but the people who go to those talks, the people who visit those websites, the people who listen to those radio shows. Is that growing? Is there a awakening of those people within that growing movement to go past the initial issue that awakened them? For example, myself, I started off as a cannabis activist, and then you realize that there's a hell of a lot more going on in this world than just the evils of cannabis prohibition. And so I left the cannabis movement, but still associate with them and that kind of thing, because they've got, you know, one kernel of truth, and that is the State of the Truth Movement, I believe, is a lack of greater awareness that comes through 10,000 hours plus of personal research into a myriad of topics. That's how you can really begin to be qualified as awake, as it were, whereas many people have only simply woken up very recently, quote-unquote, and they are being blown away and being traumatized by what they have seen, as has happened to all of us who've been awake for some time. Now, in recent times, using the New Zealand context, and I think that very similar instances have happened worldwide, we've seen a systematic attack on the people who are the publishers of freedom and truth to a large degree. Now, this is not necessarily new, as Penny Bright, a famed activist of 40 years in New Zealand here, was running for mayor of Auckland, and she was the third highest polling candidate, and they did a leaders debate, which they excluded her and had the next lowest candidate instead. Right, the censorship of political debate, the censorship of online media, the amount of videos that I've put out this week that I've had to delete because I know, like, I don't think I know that they're going to violate these made up new rules of broadcasting, and that's very, very annoying to me. I'd rather just speak plainly and speak the truth, but you can't really do that anymore. And those who are risking arrest. You know, I've been arrested, and I don't really feel like doing that again. It doesn't actually do you really any good to be arrested, I don't think. The amount of time it costs you, this is what Stefan Verstappen told me, is trying to take the target off your back, per se. Now, am I doing that? I don't think so. But this is part of the broader context whereby if you're awakening, a lot of you will have some fear associated with becoming active. Now, what happens is you don't go out knowing precisely what you know, per se. You'll go out thinking you know what you know, And much of what you've been told by people in the alternative media may well be the truth. So you've got a leg to stand on. But because you're out of practice with argument, okay, and people avoid quote-unquote argument because they don't know the definition of it. It's when two people listen to each other to see what they can agree on, okay? That's the thing about it. If we're going out with some sort of emotional thing, oh my God, they're trying to exterminate me, I need to wake up people or we're all going to die. People kind of, you come off like a Jehovah's Truthless, you know, like that's what it comes off like. You're basically a cult member, and you are, all right? Truth is a cult, make no mistake about it. Like all other cults, the exact same techniques have been perpetrated upon you, the difference being you voluntarily subjected yourself to them, okay? And you chose to do this by yourself. All cults offer the same kind of carrot at the end of the stick type of thing. You know, the carrot at the end of the stick for the truth cult is freedom, love, and truth, obviously. When you have all of those three things working in concert, you have a better life. Everybody has a better life. Everybody's more productive because there's less thieves around because they get shot. You know, that's how it was in the Old West. Everybody was packing. And the reason why people like Billy the Kid and Jesse James became so notorious is because they committed more than a crime before they got shot. Right? And if everybody is in that kind of mode, hey bro, there's some very, very simple rules to society here, and if you don't follow them, you're going to cause harm. And if we allow you to continue causing harm, there's no telling what that's going to turn into. It might turn into a government, it might turn into a police state, it might turn into a technocracy. And it is, because people don't go up in an unfriendly manner to the ones who are committing genocide upon them. It takes a lot of courage to do that. And often people are not courageous until they see somebody who is going and doing it. And then they slap them on the back and they applaud them. Oh, you're a hero. You're great. It's unbelievable. You fill me full of hope and stuff like that. And then they click on the next video link and don't change necessarily what they're doing, because they're still learning. Okay? We put too much impetus on it, especially the old activists like me, who've been around for quite some time. Often we make the mistake that people need to hurry up and catch up and get their crap together. You know, it's like, dude, nobody was sitting there giving you a hard time that you're not truthing enough. All right, you spent your own time in every bit that you could, because you're obsessed with it, and you put yourself through cult indoctrination techniques. You isolated yourself, you traumatized yourself, you came up with your own language to communicate with. You see, you probably didn't eat very well during that time either. I think many of us don't recognize this fact that, yeah, you're part of a cult, bro. Okay, now the fact that this cult is based on the actual truth, the one objective truth, things that don't care how you feel, what you believe, but they just are, and they are not what they are not. They definitely are what they are. That sort of blanket, black and white sort of world thinking is certainly not popular to those who love living lies. And there's all sorts of reasons to love living lies. It appears more comfortable. You don't have any idea why all the frustrations in your life are happening. You don't know why your health is going bad. You don't know why you have to take medications to regulate your mood. You don't know why you can't sleep, with a Wi-Fi router next to your head, and you don't know why you don't feel terribly motivated after you drink the tap water. You just live it, and you attempt to distract yourself from these terrible things that are happening to your mind, your body, and your soul on a daily basis through entertainment and a pursuit of happiness. Yeah, I think happiness is not a goal here. I mean, like, let's seriously, you died on your deathbed, and somebody like President Andrew Jackson, who, when he died on his deathbed, he said, "I killed the bank." He prevented the private banking system from taking over America. That was his deathbed, right? That was what he thought he'd achieved in his life that was truly grand and truly worth the existence of his life. He stopped a private banking cartel from taking over a country and enslaving all his people. All right? Somebody else might be on their deathbed and is just like, "Oh man, thank God I spent 10 to 25,000 hours watching Netflix. You know, thank God I spent so much time going to parties and getting wasted. Thank God I see." You see, all these things that make you happy, they're not the things that you're actually really proud of at the end of the day. These are things that you should do regularly. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do them, and I'm not saying that they're bad necessarily. What I'm saying is that shouldn't be the point of your life. You shouldn't go to work for somebody else, doing what they tell you to do, doing something that doesn't really inspire you creatively whatsoever, only to come back home in order to absorb somebody else's creative content, in order to placate the fact that you are not creating things and bringing them into the world. All right? That's no way to live. That's a way to exist. All right? And it doesn't really bring true enjoyment. Enjoyment is not necessarily happiness. Somebody might enjoy playing a rugby game, but they get injured in the result of it. But does that distract or take away the fact that they actually enjoyed doing it? No, it doesn't. Just like the fact that us truthers, we enjoy having deep, meaningful conversations about things that are important and personal. Principally because the vast majority of people do not have conversations like this. And that means that they're boring. You get bored, don't you? And in your boredom, you become frustrated. In your frustration, you get angry. In your anger, you start to lay blame. In laying blame, you stop taking personal responsibility. And that's it. That's the trap when you wake up that you can find yourself in. Blaming everybody else for all the problems in the world and not contributing to the solution yourself. You don't have to solve the world's problems. They're too big. But you can change yourself. You can change the way you look at things. You can change what you do. If you want to do a one-hour radio show, that's a huge thing to do for some people, unless you have a very particular type of personality. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. You're learning. You're starting. Everybody, when they started driving a car, the stick shift and the clutch and the brake and the window wipers and the indicators and the road rules and all of this other kind of stuff, you were freaking out because you were in something that could freaking kill you and the person that you're sitting with. And that is a natural thing when you're learning. We all screw up. We all do things incorrectly, and let's not poo-poo ourselves or use that as a justification to not keep going. There are two mistakes on the path to enlightenment, it is said. One is not starting. The other is not finishing. That's what we have to understand here when we're talking about the generalized state of the truth movement. Many people do not finish their path to enlightenment, principally because they don't have mentorship. Okay? When I started, what was the first thing I did before I actually really started doing anything? I went and I sought mentorship from Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine, uncensored.co.nz, and he's been a lifelong friend, really. And finding people who've done it before and just talking with them, just helping them out here and there and what have you, that helps to train you for what it is you must do. I got mentored by Vapi Kupinger, who was the number one rated talk radio show host in New Zealand. And she did that on Radio Wātea, Urban Māori Radio, and she had higher ratings than even the biggest talk radio shows in this country, because she was able to take all of these big, disparate, you know, quote-unquote conspiratorial issues and relate it to Māori. That was what mentorship really teaches you. It teaches you the skills and the trades of successful people. Is this what you want to do? Then make contact with those people. Talk to them. Ask them questions. Ask them if they need help. Can I do this for you? Can I do that for you? That sort of thing. And most of the time, you'll have a no as a result, because you're not ready yet. Okay? If somebody wants to take on an apprentice, that apprentice has to be ready. And it is said that when the student is ready, the master will appear. So cast off any notions that you might have that because of your age or your experience or your expertise or your knowledge or your skills, pretend for a moment that they don't really matter anymore, because you're now going into a completely different field. You're now changing your real core being, ostensibly. That which you thought you were was never real. Who you really are is something you have to discover for yourself. How many people do you hang around who think exactly like you or don't think at all? Right? What are your influences? What are your circles? Who are you meeting up with in real life? These are the things that stop truthers from committing suicide, actually. Yes, because when you're isolated and persecuted, and believe me, you will be, if you aren't smart enough to keep your mouth shut around people who you know won't listen. Ah, just touched on something there, didn't I? That's right. You can't keep your mouth shut when you're talking to people who you know won't listen. I'm not going to say that you're stupid. I'm saying that you're willful, okay? You've got a good heart. You're trying to do the right thing, but you're doing something that doesn't work. Pearls before swine. It means don't talk to people who ain't listening. Sometimes you don't need a plan. David Icke told me he never had a plan. Never. About anything. Stuff just comes together because he's doing the right thing, because he's telling the truth. And the universe just goes, oh, okay. You're serious about this, aren't you? Here's this. Here's that. Right at the time you needed it, exactly what it is that you needed. That's what it is to live by the rules of natural law, the rules of the universe. You don't need a budget. You don't need an accountant. You don't need any of those other things that everybody else is absolutely dependent on, because whatever happens, happens and will be sorted when you need it to, okay? Everybody's got this sense of impatience and impending doom. There's not a overall sense of, everything is happening as it should. And the only thing I need to worry about is what I'm doing right here, right now. Okay? Are you obtaining something that is worthwhile? Okay, knowledge, research, all of that sort of stuff. We all did it. But after you've done it, then you need to go into the next stage where you start applying it. And after you've applied it for some time, once you like, you can pull off a radio show at the drop of a hat. And you can do anything related to truth without really even thinking about it. That's when you know you're ready to start teaching. You know, it's like, dude, I've got some wisdom here. I've done a whole lot of things that I know you haven't done. And if you ever want to try doing them, you might want to think about listening to the people who've done them before. Right? Right? Sometimes that's very important. I think maybe if I'd more aggressively sought mentorship in the early days, I would have had a much better operation much quicker, and would have had a big team and things like that. But this is the part that is really important about this thing. Cult indoctrination is traumatic. Okay, when you're becoming indoctrinated into knowing the truth about all things, how dark they are and how wonderful they are too. It can be painful because the mind has trouble letting go. That cognitive dissonance is happening. The brain can't hold two contradictory beliefs. Oh, the government helps us with the roads and everything like that. The government means mind control and they're trying to exterminate you. The brain's unable to just sit there and take that. So it closes off and it goes into denial. Usually you start to have an aggressive response to this. Now, you'll see this in people who are truthers and non-truthers, depending on the subject matter. And my thoughts is that when this traumatic instance, whatever it is, happens to you, that thing that gives you the impetus, the thing that starts to make you question, you might have been sick for 6 months and not been able to get off of a bed, you might have been messed around by a criminal gang wearing uniforms, you might have been screwed over by a lawyer in the court system or a corrupt judge or something of that nature, or a politician might have had you arrested for trying to expose them. Whatever it is, at some point, I believe there's a very high correlation between traumatic incidents that occur to people that they're unable to get justice for at the hands of groups of people or organizations. That is where true trauma lies, that really motivates people to go to truth. But not everybody. Some of them just kill themselves because it's so horrible. I guarantee you, almost everybody who has come to the truth has been sad at some point because that's part of the grief process. You are grieving. You are grieving for the loss of who you were. This image, who I was, who I could have been, what the things that I've gone and done and the things that I've said and what have you, and it's now I've got to throw them all away and start from scratch because I didn't know who I was, didn't know what I was talking about. And now I want to. So that is where we are psychologically speaking, sort of as in a generalized malaise. And the truth movement and the people who want to, shall we say, play more active frontline roles. There's backline roles and frontline roles. The backline roles are the people who are sharing out the links and donating money and having conversations with people online, making mentions, word of mouth, and providing. In wartime, it would be the people who are setting up the camp so that the guys in the front line have somewhere to go back to afterwards so that they can survive more than one battle, right? Never underestimate the importance of the backline crew. They are the essential element behind the success of any war effort. Just as essential as the frontline crew, just as essential as high command with strategy. Okay? Not tactics. strategy. Here's why it might be very difficult for people to adopt strategy and to form groups. It's because all of us got traumatized by groups and organizations. So the second we try to become part of one or form one ourselves, it's triggering. Okay? We go into fight or flight response and we start accusing each other and being suspicious and retreating into ourselves and things of that nature, because most of us have got complex post-traumatic stress where we lost control of our life for between 1 and 6 months. And the neural interlay of our brain, the thing that connects our prefrontal thinking, our mammalian feeling, and our reptilian action, has basically got a tripwire on it, where as soon as you even conceive, as soon as you even think that there's a threat, you immediately go into fight or flight. That's why you see these truthers getting really angry about everything. And can't seem to have a calm conversation with somebody who disagrees with them because they're so full of trauma that they adopt what's called transference, okay? Have you ever been arguing with somebody online and then your missus comes in and says, hey, baby, what are you doing? And then you snap at them or something like that? That's transference. Your body is feeling angry, and the next thing that happens, that anger will come out, right? So we're dealing with that aspect. This is why there's a lot of infighting, a lot of fracturing, and a lot of divide and conquer techniques that are used so magnificently upon the truth movement of New Zealand and the world. We far too often will be critical of each other. Somebody does a great news story and they blow a massive big hole in the side of the establishment's keel. And unfortunately, though, it doesn't sink the ship. So everybody says, oh, bro, you should have aimed higher, or you should have aimed lower, or you should have aimed more to the left, or more to the right. You know, it's just like, dude, they took a shot. Okay, and what you have to do when somebody gets any victory, no matter how small, is celebrate it. Okay, you have to, because you're in a war, make no freaking mistake. And the most important thing about war is keeping morale high. You have to keep people happy. You have to keep people thirsting for victory. You have to keep people partying. You have to keep people joking. You have to keep people talking. You have to keep people enjoying their life while they are at war. Otherwise, they lose sight of what they're fighting for. You understand? If you are not partying with other truthers regularly, whenever a great thing happens, that is a disservice to the war effort. You get it? Because otherwise, every little success that you have goes unnoted. And the only time when anybody's getting together is when there's something really bad happening that we need to do something about. That's depressing. We just did something about this. Let's have a party. You see? That's how you win a war, by keeping people's spirits hi. All right. Celebration. Music. Dancing. It's like on V for Vendetta, a revolution without dancing is a revolution not worth having. Why is that? It just, again, have to reiterate. Why do you want the truth? Why do you want love? Why do you want freedom? Because it's orderly, okay? If you love somebody, you're probably not going to just straight up randomly frickin' murder them. If you are always truthful, the chances that you're full of crap are extraordinarily low. And if you've got your freedom, You have the ability to prevent anybody from taking it, ostensibly. All works in a perfect little circle. The truth has to come first, because you can't have love unless you've got truth, and you can't have freedom unless you've got love. This tolerance of each other is something that's very lacking, I believe, in the truth movement. Let's say we were in a Dungeons and Dragons game or something of that nature, where you have these characters that people play, and they are like a level 65 wizard versus a level 1 ranger or whatever you might think. That's not a terribly bad analogy from how most of us differentiate ourselves from the other. Some of us are very powerful magi, and some of us are incredible hunters. Some of us are massive beasts in combat, and so on and so forth. All of these different skills and talents and techniques that we bring to the table need to be valued, need to be integrated, and I think part of the greater whole, because this world will suck the life out of you by making you think that your own little contribution is insignificant. It isn't. Everything that you contribute to in a positive way, I can assure you, is quite significant. So significant that you might never even find out how big an effect you've had. That thing that you said to that guy at that bar, the thing that you showed the person at the park, that thing that you talked to that person about online, unbeknownst to you, and this might have happened hundreds or even thousands of times to you, there's a significant portion that not just you, but somebody else and another person at different times in this person's life have come and said something incredibly similar to what you're saying, which will enable them to take that information on board. If you come and tell somebody 9/11 is an inside job when they were all for the war on terror, they'll tell you F off, you're a conspiracy theorist. But if you are the first of seven people from seven different times in this person's life, from seven different social circles, who came up and tell them 9/11 was an inside job, they'll consider changing their strongly held belief. It's what I call the seventh man principle. Now, how that works in practicality is kind of like in sales. If you've got an emotional need for somebody to buy what you're selling, you'll sound a little bit more desperate, won't you? But if you're relaxed and you understand that this person has a choice now whether or not they're talking to you, and they have a choice now whether or not they want to live or die as a result of how they interact with you, and that's their choice and it's not your responsibility, you're a lot more relaxed. Because on the one hand, mate, we could have a really great conversation and I could save your life with the information that I've got. I could help save people that you know as well as you pass that information on to them. Or you could be in a point where you completely ignore everything that I say, and either somebody else will wake you up later or you're going to die. And that's not my problem. All right? You've made your choice. And I'm quite happy with the choice that I've made. Principally because I thought about this the other day. Could I sit there and placate myself for the rest of my life? Let's say it's illegal to say what I'm saying, do what I'm doing, and what have you. And it's curbed my behaviours significantly at this point, because I, frankly, don't like the whole idea of getting arrested or going to jail. It's very traumatising for me. But that aside, let's say you're just an everyday conversation and you can't say what you think. That will drive you crazy, all right? You'll get so angry and so depressed that you won't be able to have a normal, a quote-unquote normal conversation with somebody anymore. You're going to self-isolate, and maybe that'll be the end of you. So how can we have an ordinary conversation with somebody? Okay, talking about a card game or their job in a box-making factory or something of that nature, when you're used to talking about holographic fractals being projected by collective consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. You know, it's a bit of a step down intellectually, spiritually, and quite frankly, these people are dull. All right, even people in the truth movement, mark my words, the truth movement is a perfect representation of the general public. We have just as much ignorance in the truth movement, just as much laziness, cowardice, just as much boring, unoriginal people, just as much lazy people, okay? Just because somebody woke up to the truth didn't mean they did the shadow work and changed who they are. They're still who they are. If they haven't done that work. And that work is very, very difficult. That's why the vast majority of people do not do it. And that's generally why the vast majority of people you will consider not worth your time. The conversations aren't stimulating enough. You're not accomplishing enough during that conversation. How much time do you really want to talk to somebody who's talking about something that is completely uninteresting to you? You see, time is the only thing that they ain't making any more of. This is your life and it's ending 1 minute at a time. Now people can say, oh, but I'll go to God or I'll get reincarnated and blah blah blah. Yeah, that's true, but you might be in a different meat suit. You might be in a different a state of consciousness, awareness. Right now you're experiencing infinite awareness as yourself subjectively. Okay, which means it's very important and very significant, because the universe literally could not be complete without willing you here. You understand? You are very important. That's why you should stay alive, generally, for as long as you possibly can. And I'm saying stay alive because I'm not talking about survival. I'm talking about really being alive. Most people don't even know what being alive even means, because they have never used their life before in any real significant manner that puts them in touch with the majesty and the significance of higher powers beyond your own. This life is very, very important as part of the whole, as part of the one. The one would not be complete without it. So don't throw your life away. Don't throw your time away. Don't make excuses, oh, everybody's going to die someday, and then just keep drinking energy drinks. You know? Bro, come on. The healthier you are, the clearer you can think. And I've had to experience this really firsthand quite significantly, because I have not been taking care of my health for virtually my entire life. I'm going to be 39 before the end of the year, and my health is really in the crapper, as it were, because I haven't been practicing these techniques of self-care, because I operated under the false belief that the New World Order would kill me off before I would start to suffer any health problems that would really significantly affect me. And that's not true. If you're not healthy and your liver is off, you become apathetic, right? And a lot of people have liver problems and are incredibly apathetic. And that's because sugar, carbs, alcohol, cigarettes, artificial sweeteners, Wi-Fi radiation, and these things affect the liver. And the first thing you notice when your liver is affected by something in a real bad way is you become apathetic. All right? You just don't care. And those things that I listed are the socially engineered virtues of society. Everybody does them all day, every day. Not everybody does all of them, but almost everybody does them at some point. And so what this has done is I think it's affected the livers of the vast majority of the populations of Western countries. I believe this could have been done deliberately, because the New World Order knew that if everybody was apathetic, they'd be able to do anything they want to them and not have anybody resist. So the thought is occurring to me that, you know what, maybe we really do need to clean out, you know, like really detox, get all of this crap out of our systems and see what changes. see how we think about things differently. Like, if we don't like how things are, if it's not doing it for us, if we're not feeling terribly motivated and joyous, you remember that time, you might have had a time in your life where you actually really did feel full of energy, where you really did feel inspired, where you did work really, really hard and could get up the next day and do it again because you were so happy to do it. Imagine if that was all day, every day, for the rest of your life. Imagine if you were that healthy, that motivated, and that happy and so full of joy that no matter how hard you had it, you were still going hard, you know? You barely even need time to stop or recover. That would be immensely awesome. And I think that a significant amount of people would benefit from things like naturopathic care from HoldenHealthcare.com helped me quite significantly. And this other element here, when you're waking up and you're going through this grief process and this trauma process and the triggering that happens when you try to organize with other groups of people and the lack of celebration when good things happen and what have you, these are all bad truth movement habits that are really rarely talked about, because everybody thinks, incorrectly mind you, that information changes people's minds. No, it doesn't. Emotion changes people's minds. That's why there's virtually nobody in the truth movement that I've met. In fact, I haven't met one yet who came to the truth without trauma. Okay? It's that pain that motivates you. Now, there's two motivations from pain. Number one, you can become a politician and think that because I experienced pain, then now you can experience pain and I won't feel bad about being the one that caused it to you because somebody did it to me. So it's totally justified. And the other is the activist mentality, which says, I've been hurt and I've been caused untold pain, and I know exactly what that's like now because I experienced it firsthand, and I know for a fact that this is happening to other people, and it will happen to many more unless it is stopped. And I can't stop it by myself, but I'm going to try and do what I can by myself to make that situation a little bit better. If there's one person that stops getting hurt as a result of the emotional story that I told them, that gives them a little bit of a hair standing up on end, being suspicious about what's happening in their own life, and then saying no to a particular practice that might addict them or brainwash them or make them depressed, you see? That's the whole significant point upon it, because we're up against, I was asked one time, Vinny, what are we actually really up against here? Is it the Jews? Is it the aliens? Is it the Rothschilds? Is it the Rockefellers? Is it the Freemasons? Is it the Satanists? And I was just like, yes. Now, the point is that you know what is happening regardless. The question is, what are you actually doing about it? Okay? What are you really up against? You're up against the forces of anti-life. All right? If you really had to sum up the entire agenda that is facing mankind, it has probably faced it since our inception. We were hatched in the Anunnaki labs, according to some sources. Is the forces of life versus the forces of anti-life. Life wants to grow. Life wants to learn. Life wants to interact. Life wants to experience. Anti-life wants you to slow down, wants you to die, wants you to shut yourself off. So, any practice, therefore, that is in the service of life is automatically against the forces of anti-life. And because they have many people in their employ, large amounts of incredibly well-financed, well-educated, and often, surprisingly enough, well-meaning people who are hatching these schemes to enslave mankind and developing a significant scary technologies in order to do it. You know, one of the scariest words I've ever heard was psychotronic weapons, you know, psychological electronic weapons, the kind of weapon that you can turn on and make somebody feel something, all right? Like their skin being on fire. Like, I want to kill everybody around me. Like, I'm going to kill myself right now, right? Psychotronic weapons. That's some scary stuff. And you will learn, if you want to, about these terrible, horrible, no good, very bad things. Now, you get what you pay for. If you want to know about these things, you will get traumatized again and again and again. That's why listening to these shows is very difficult for some people, because I interview so many different people about so many different topics that you might have previously been unaware of, and we get right to the heart of it, and we get right to the core of the issues. And that way there's no real escape from it, because sometimes in order to grow, you have to experience growing pains. Sometimes in order to create something new, you have to destroy what is already there. And that is, I think, the predication of the truth movement in general, is that we are self-destructive in our pursuit of personal growth. We destroy ourselves so that we can remake ourselves better and stronger. And in some cases, we do it in such a way where parts of us are lost. Parts of us become sick. Parts of us don't feel very good at all sometimes, because we get trapped in our heads and we think about how many people there are out there, how much fluoride they're drinking, how many injections they're having, how many psychotropic drugs they're on, how much mainstream media television they're watching, etc., etc., etc. You can sit here very easily for the rest of your days and blame everybody but yourself for what's going wrong. And you could find yourself infinitely justifying yourself over and over again. But that doesn't actually accomplish anything. That doesn't make you feel any better. It just makes you feel worse. It makes you resentful. People die for the same reason machines do. They oxidize. They rust. And in our case, we age. And the thing responsible for this is free radicals. They're like miniature psychopaths. They steal electrons. They roam around and they find little cell merrily marching along. And all of a sudden this free radical comes along. Hey, buddy. Oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, you're so talented. I see you got some electrons there. Do you mind if I just snatch them off? You know, and those little cells are absolutely destroyed in this process, you know. But a part of him has actually been taken. And so he starts to wallow around in the bloodstream. And somebody else comes and finds him. This is the opposite of the free radical. They're called antioxidants. What they do is they find cells that have had their electrons stolen and they give them some of their own. And this little cell was completely damaged and completely destroyed up until that point. Suddenly this little angel antioxidant comes out of nowhere and gives him some of his electrons, helps to restore him to full health, and goes back and is able to live. And the cell wonders, you know, how can I ever repay you for what you've given back to me that has been taken? And the antioxidant will say, you'll never have to. It's same on the micro as it is on the macro. Everything's just a smaller or larger version of something else. We may think that the insects have less significance than us. But in some ways, to say that they have no significance, that they have no value, is an oversimplification. And we forget the gratitude of life. You're still alive. Even after all you've suffered. You have any idea how many people wish they'd lived into old age like you and didn't because they couldn't hack the things that had happened to them? Old age is not for the weak. If you live life, you will experience pain and trauma and suffering of some description. Just like in The Princess Bride, life is pain, Highness. Anybody who says different is selling something. That's why people don't want to come to the truth, because you're promising them pain. You're promising them suffering. You're promising them a hell of a lot of hard work with very little recognition or payment for that hard work. That is the promise of truth. As far as somebody who loves lies and lives lies for their life is concerned, there are unexpected benefits to telling the truth, however, because it orders chaos. You ever felt like you've been keeping a secret from somebody, and then as soon as you keep the secret out, even though it blows things up or whatever, you feel good because you no longer have to keep that secret? That's what the truth is like. Everybody's actually secretly in pain all the time because they're living lies. Lies that they tell themselves, lies that other people tell them that they believe, and the truth is the thing to order that chaos. The chaos that we feel inside us is the only thing. And people might say that there could be other methodologies of achieving eternal peace without truth, Vinny. It's like, no, there isn't. Okay? It's unfortunate that this is how the world is. If you don't like pain, if you don't like suffering as a means of obtaining enlightenment, as a mean of fulfilling purpose, if you don't want enlightenment and you don't have a purpose, what value does your life here in this infinite universe, what value does it have? Okay? And that is why you are encouraged to not wake up. That's why you are threatened. That's why you are ridiculed. That's why you are hated. That's why you are mocked. That's why you get fired. That's why you have your things taken off you. That's why you get assaulted. Because you are being assaulted and attacked and violated by people who are living a lie, who are simply and utterly jealous of the fact that you don't have to do what they believe that they have to do. You don't believe that you have to lie to yourself and others in order to have a good life. Okay? It doesn't mean you have to be mean. But sometimes, if somebody is perhaps, for example, a mass effing murderer, and you went up and you said something very mean to them or whatever, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly justifiable. I would have no moral qualms about the mass murderers in this country and any other, every time they go out to get some ciggies from the shop, having the shopkeeper, the customers, the people while they're passing them on the crosswalk, and the person in the cab that's dropping them off there, all of them should be giving them immense amounts of abuse all day, every day. Why? Because they are murderers. Because they are liars. Because they are psychopaths. Okay? They don't deserve to be treated nicely. We can be nice until we're not. And if somebody is trying to kill you, you have the right given to you by God to defend yourself. Self-defense. And if anybody out there has any illusions that this is all going to end nice and peacefully and what have you, you know, the truth will prevail and what have you, without immense amounts of suffering and blood and death and fear and destruction, you've never gone to war with a psychopath before. I've only been to war with two of them, and it destroyed me twice. And these guys are still running around because I didn't want to nail the coffin shut to prevent these walking dead vampires from walking the earth, because I knew that it would cost me my life too. That's what's terrifying about it. You're up against a force so dark, so evil, so conniving and sleepless in its malice and cruelty upon mankind, that it is impossible. I will say that again, it is impossible to even imagine what they will do, to imagine how they think about things. This is the most terrifying enemy that anybody could ever be given awareness of. And to go up against these creatures takes rare courage, and all those who do so are to be commended, are to be supported, even if you disagree with some of the things they say, some of the things they believe. If they are fighting the forces of anti-life by bringing truth to order the chaos, any truth, as long as it's the truth, then you shouldn't be infighting. You shouldn't be divided. You shouldn't get conquered. You need to be appreciated and above all emulated. This is what the word encourage means, to give courage to others. We are often fearful of what might happen to us as a result of the consequences of our actions. But that is not good enough as an excuse. Yes, you're going to lose all your friends. You're going to lose your business. You're going to lose your home. You're going to lose your family. And you're going to lose your psychological health and well-being. Okay? And if you don't take that on the chin as just part of the natural consequence of fighting for the forces of life, then you're a coward. All right? Knowing what it full might cost, going in naively and what have you, that's great. But you'll soon learn, just as Billy TK did when he went in and thought that he'd help us save the country and so on and so forth. He tried harder than anybody and was more successful than anybody ever had been. And then he got sabotaged, and then he got destroyed. And that discouraged a lot of people out there, because people weren't there to support him when he fell. People weren't there to support me when I fell as well. And that is a great disservice to the country, really, to mankind's consciousness, because it gives us an impression of where we currently are. This is the state of the freedom and truth movement, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on Ground Zero Radio, and I would like to encourage people to support me by going to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and making a donation. For those of you who are listening on the live streams, there is the KiwiBank and PayPal and Patreon there for Vinny and the Vendettas, who do the music for the show. And I am in a state right now, ladies and gentlemen, where I am in desperate need of your support. I am so tired and I need to have a holiday. So if anybody would be kind enough, we are about maybe $1,000 short of just being able to survive the next couple of weeks while we go on Christmas break. So we could probably coast by with about maybe 1,000 New Zealand dollars. I think that's about maybe 600 US or so. And that's to get us all the way through to January 7th, which will be the opening show of the broadcast for the next year. Now, next week will be the last show that we do for the year. That will be on Sunday the 17th for those of you in the US, and Monday the 18th for those of you here in New Zealand. So I would like to ask, please guys, please let me have a holiday. Please let me have a break. I just need, you know, to pay for gas, food, and all of those things that you just ordinarily just need to take care of, and we just simply do not have it. I've done so much work this year and in the last couple of years, and I really actually haven't had a holiday since 2019, it feels like, you know, being able to go and see family at Christmas and stuff like that. It's been very, very tough for me, and I miss my family, and I need your help to be able to go and see them this holiday season. So if you can find it in your heart to say, Vinny, you know what, you've done a lot of good work and you deserve a holiday this year, here's a couple of $100, here's $1,000, you know, that kind of thing would be wonderful. We have almost paid off the lawyers, thanks to you guys. We only have about maybe $1,000 left to pay off. It was initially over $25,000. You guys have paid off a significant amount of those lawyers' fees with your generous donations, and I'm extremely, extremely grateful, because although I talk about sometimes how there wasn't really much support for Billy and myself following our arrest, that's not entirely true. There was a huge amount of support, but often it wasn't from New Zealanders and talk radio show hosts and activists here where we live and where we fight for freedom. It was people overseas. So I'd like to acknowledge all of those people, our global freedom fighters, for helping us through this with their kind donations and their support. I'd like to also thank Ground Zero Radio for offering me a gig, and Republic Broadcasting Network, and Barry, and Maddox, and so many other people, Guru, Aussie friends and family who are in this global movement together. They've been inviting me on my shows, on their shows, and helping me out in such significant ways, and I can't be grateful enough for the opportunities that I've been given from our international counterparts. And that being said, of course, there are so many wonderful people in New Zealand, people like DK and Tanya and Debbie and Sigya and all the people that we have in the chat rooms who listen to the show regularly and are so supportive in their comments and so helpful, especially with sometimes when we have tech issues. You know, they help us out and let us know when things are going wrong. So you can't run any operation that has any significance without a huge periphery of wonderful people who all do millions of little jobs that help the overall project get off the ground in the first place, and second of all, keep it fueled so it can keep flying. I am so grateful to all of you guys for all the support that you've shown me and all the staying power that you've got, because you may not be complimented enough. Yes, you're very clever. Yes, you work very hard. Yes, you've got a big heart. These things are so important to have, and so few people have them. So in terms of a rare resource, you guys are right up there with gold. You retain your value. And if that is something that is worth anything, then I hope that this broadcast has helped you to maybe understand yourself a little bit better, maybe understand what you're going through a little bit better, and maybe give you a little bit of a perspective on what other people are going through and why you shouldn't necessarily feel too bad about it, and you shouldn't be too hard on yourself, because look at all you have done already. Look at all of that which you have resisted, all the attacks on your mind and your body and your soul, that despite the efforts of the smartest, most highly paid and most qualified evil people in the world, they still have not defeated you. You have my respect and you have my love. Thank you so much for being you, because there's nobody left to do it but you. We'll see you again sometime.